You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play with your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield, then start learning how to shoot a gun, is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete in war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God. You do this too well.
Thank you so much, choir. God bless you. Let's celebrate the choir. Come on, celebrate them. Streams of life. Like, I'm always blessed. I am always, always blessed. I pray the Lord will continue to uphold you guys with his mighty hands of righteousness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to church. Why are you not doing it to the excitement? Amen. Amen. So have your seats in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Okay. So, we're going to stand up again because I want to thank my father for giving me this opportunity, you know, to come before my family and preach. So join me and celebrate him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Papa. We love you. And there is nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. So basically this morning, as much as possible, I would like this to be very, very interactive. Hallelujah. So we'll be talking about compassion. Amen. Amen. Sorry, please, can we on the light? Thank you. God bless. I know somebody is saying, my day again. Okay. Well, I don't know. I think I'm a born teacher, so I like it to be interactive. Please have your seat. Thank you. Oh, wow. I like this. Now, I would just want one or two people to come and, you know, talk about compassion. What you understand by the word compassion. And yes, I want someone from the choir and then someone is okay. I'm not going to point fingers to anybody, so please volunteer. What you understand by the word compassion. Don't fall my hand now. Listen. Oh, yeah. To me. Yes, please. Please, let's celebrate her.
Praise God. Okay, I would like to paint a scenario, or I'll just say it as I... Praise God. I'll just say it as it's here. Okay, so what I think compassion is, compassion is seeing yourself or putting yourself in another person's situation in order to be able to act towards them. So if I see someone that is probably lacking or in a particular situation, it takes a compassionate heart, a heart that sees, that not just sees, that is in, that can feel what that person is feeling to be able to act.
One more person, please.
can give anybody. You are free. Thank you. Let's celebrate her, please.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, compassion. I think the word compassion is somehow, yes, is related to what she has said. I think it's an act of being, having mercy on somebody. Like, I don't know. Being, having mercy on somebody. I think that is a literal meaning of compassion.
Celebrate her, please. Amen. So as I studied my Bible, I came to understand that before Jesus did any miracle, the number one thing that he had was compassion. You hear that? Jesus had compassion on her. And Jesus had compassion on the crowd. And I was just asking myself, compassion. What is this compassion? What is it about? Then I came to this conclusion that it is mercy. Amen. Mercy. Somebody say mercy. Mercy. It is love. Hallelujah. Love. Love. When you're compassionate about someone, you're compassionate about the situation, you don't just know why your heart is drawing towards that direction. That is, it's telling you something. It is telling you that it's time for you to take action. Whenever Jesus is compassionate about a set of people, whenever he's compassionate about someone, miracles flow naturally. So sometimes, we just, you know, you just have that struggle in your heart and you're like, hey, what you should do is to what? Take action. I would like us to project that picture again, the picture of the boy and the vulture that we had the first service. So I'm going to, like, I by the grace of God, I have this background that we had the story somehow. So what happened here? The photographer that took this picture saw this boy and the vulture. And then he took the picture, and then he got an award for it. Now, this boy here is dying, and the vulture is waiting for that boy to die and then eat. But a human being came, and the only thing that came to his head was to take the picture of that situation, and then he got an award for it. He got an award. At that point, I was like, really? He got an award. Then 3 months after, he was in an interview. The interviewer asked him, the picture you took, why did you think to rescue the boy? And what happened? He could not answer. And that led to depression. A few weeks later, he died. So tell me, so you can blame this man, no, you can blame him, that he didn't do well, but really, sometimes you find yourself in this situation. You do. Your neighborhood, you know, amongst your friends, you see situations that you need to take action, but you keep quiet. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and then I told him, I said, I'm proud of you. I said, I'm proud of you. He just told me some things he was doing, and then the way he's making it. I said, I'm proud of you. Why should you keep quiet as a child of God? It is easy to blame others. It is easy to situations and say, ah, you should not have done that. But you, as a daughter of Zion, as a son of God, what are you doing? Amen. Amen. This morning, I am here to challenge us, to challenge your heart. It is time for God to touch every one of us here. God, to touch your heart, to give us a heart like his own. The Bible says, and Jesus had compassion. He had compassion.
compassion. And whenever that happens, miracles flow. He will just himself. He will just heal the sick. He will raise the dead. You know, we're just compassion. 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 Before I go further, I want all of us to ask God to give you a heart like his. Cry to Jesus this morning. Say, Jesus, give me a heart like yours. A heart like yours. A heart like yours, Lord. A heart like yours, oh God. Shanda kamus tikana brakush. Heart like yours is my desire. Heart like yours is what I'm tested for. Full of compassion, nothing wrong within. Please hear me, Lord. Give me a heart like yours. Heart like yours is my desire. Heart like yours is what I'm testing for. Nothing wrong within. Please tell me, Lord, give me a heart like yours. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Luke 10, verse 30. This was a parable of Jesus. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which ripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain man, priest. Please note the word priest, okay? Priest. That way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I think the very first time I read this passage, immediately I saw a priest, I was excited, like, wow, thank God, somebody is here to save this man, right? Like, everybody would think that way. But what happened? Continue. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He had compassion on him. Please continue. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own breast. On his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now this parable, the first time I read the parable was when I saw the priest. I was excited, like, okay, yeah, thank God, somebody's here to rescue. But what did the priest did? Just turn them. The same way God is telling you to preach to that your roommate, and you're ignoring it. The same way God is saying, put call through to that person now. And you're like, me, need card. I don't have airtime. Even if it takes you to borrow at that moment, do it. The same way the Holy Spirit will wake you up in the middle of the night, in the middle of the night to intercede. And you stand up, go to the toilet, you give yourself, and like, oh, I'm tired, Joe. Are you sure you're not the priest in this situation? The same way God is saying that your only shoe, give it out. Somebody needs it. Lagbaja needs this shoe. Give it out. And you're like, this is the only thing I have now.
The same way God is asking you to connect to somebody and be a guard over that person. And like, I have my own problems too. The same way you are refusing to take your ground. Are you sure you are not the priest? What are you doing, daughter of Zion? What are you doing, son of God? What? It is easy to blame people. Very easy. They are not doing checking. They are not doing what they are supposed to do. They are not. But you, what are you doing? God needs to give you a heart like his own. Like he is. The same way you've refused to forgive that person that hurts you. Same way. The same way you are struggling with that sin. And God is saying, oh, son, you need to move out of this. I have great and wonderful things I want to use you for. You're selfish. See, sin is selfishness. That's how I see it. If you keep living in sin, you are being selfish. Because God is raising an army and he wants you to be a part of it. You're just there doing your own thing. I see it as selfishness. Same way. The same way you are that class teacher and you are seeing things happening. You're seeing and you're not talking. The same way you have your friend that dress anyhow and just like, and that's just my sister. The same way. What are you doing? Let's ask of God again. God, touch my heart. I don't want to be like this priest. I don't want to be like this Levite. Help me, Lord Jesus. I want to be compassionate. Help me, Jesus. Give me a heart like yours, oh God. Kaboshandili kambrokus. Mandika di kalaboshana managa. Regina manokanika shatelegemukambus. Jesus, the Son of God. Keep your heart like yours. Your heart like yours. Your heart like yours. Know how much you're cheating yourself until you have that heart. You will never know how much you're lacking behind until you have a heart like his. One of the issues I've seen in the kingdom is that people like doing than waiting. Just want to do. But you don't want to wait and see God's face. You don't want to be like Jesus. See, I tell people, whatever Jesus will not do, don't do it. If there's anything you want to do, or anything you're supposed to do, or anything you want to do, ask yourself first, if Jesus is in this situation, what will he do? It has helped me. I tell you. I ask myself every time. Let's say it is Jesus here. What will Jesus do? What will Jesus do? Having that consciousness of Jesus on the inside of you 24/7. Having that consciousness. Carrying Jesus everywhere. Carrying Jesus on your inside. It's a consciousness that you need to develop. The act of staying on God 24/7. I will say, I don't have the time, my work is too demanding, can you
the truth is this, for those that are busy, everybody is busy. If you say you want to be looking for time, you will never get it. What did I say? You will never get that time. Never. The devil will not even allow you to see the time to get. He won't. But when your heart is stationed on God, every time you're walking on your street and under your breath, you're praying in the spirit. You are attending to your customers, but in your heart, you're praying. Once you develop that habit, it will come to a point that, see, the Holy Spirit will start revealing things to you. These things are not difficult. It is very easy. But your relationship with God matters. What are you thinking about? As you are seated in church now, what is on your mind? What are you thinking about? Let your heart be stationed on God. 24/7. 24/7. 24/7. It came to a point, I just realized that even when I want to sleep, there is always paper, my jotter and my pen. Because I might wake up and something just, okay, I'll quickly write it down. You're cultivating the act of staying on God every now and then. You're not disconnected. Nothing will happen around you and you'll be like, how come I didn't see that coming? No, you will always see it coming. You'll be sensitive. You'll be sensitive to it. Many of you must have read the post I made some time ago on Facebook. But that happened in January. I went to make my hair and I was just there. I saw this lady just pass. Immediately I saw her pass. It was just her leg. I saw. I just said, emergency. I started praying. I started praying. It was not up to 5 seconds. We just heard a very loud noise outside. Okay, no shell. A car almost hit that woman. Let's say I didn't take that hope in the spirit. The man will just die like that. So what are you doing? What are you doing? It is beyond coming to church. What are you doing? In your territory, what are you doing? In your family, what are you doing? Do they know that somebody is here? Or they just see you like every other person? What are you doing? Into your prophetic destiny and start taking charge from now. Nothing should happen around you that should take you by surprise. Nothing. In fact, wherever you are, the devil should never have a say. Do you know the devil does not have a right over you? Do you know? It only takes advantage of situation. It only takes advantage. It does not have a right. And he knows this. He knows. See, even if you yourself, even if you don't know how powerful you are, let me shock you, the devil knows. He knows. Step into it with all compassion and your heart stationed on God. Your heart stationed on God. Why would you be somewhere in a room living with 3 or 4 other people and they're just living their life anyhow? And you are there and you're like, that's just the way they are. Or you're in a class and they're all your friends. They're just anyhow people, Yahoo boys, you know. And you're just like, we're just classmates. There is a reason why God has placed you in that class. See, for children of God, everywhere you are, anything you're doing, there's a reason to it. Have that at the back of your mind. Every time, any day, everywhere, there's a reason to it. There's a reason to. Nothing should eat you by surprise. You shouldn't
take anything for with levity at all. I tell people, see, meeting people, I've had this in my mind, like, it's been my consciousness for a very long time now. I know whenever I meet anybody, I'm not meeting that person just for meeting sake. There's a reason to it. So that directs my relationship. It helps me to connect well. When I meet you, okay, I'm taking that relationship serious. I'm not just saying we're just friends, or we're just classmates, or we're just business partners, or it's just my customer. No. I hope I'm challenging your heart right now. For Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now I want to talk about forgiveness. In the past few months, I've come to realize one of the major issues that is rampant in the hearts of people is unforgiveness. And I told myself, the next time I'm having an opportunity to come and talk, to come and preach, I'm not going to leave the podium without talking about it. Unforgiveness. It is not your fault. Whatever might have happened in the past. And the truth is, it's a person's fault, whatever he or she has done to you. But you have one right, and that is to forgive. Why won't you even forgive? Christ forgive you. You know, there's this story of a man. He gave his daughter in hand in marriage to a young man. And then one of the things he told the man was, don't ever lay your hands on my daughter. If you do that, I will curse you. So you know now, introduction, wedding, everything, they got married. And this guy will beat her, blue and black, beat her, carry her to the hospital. You see the one that will carry her to the hospital? Carry her to the hospital, do all the treatments, bring her home again, beat her again. So he came to a point, the lady was not talking, she didn't tell her, she was not talking to her parents, but they discovered. So the family decided to withdraw their daughter from him. On getting home, a few weeks later, she discovered that she was pregnant. So, weeks, months, the guy never showed up. He didn't show up to the family. He didn't. Then the father of the lady fell sick. And then he was on the hospital bed, he was just bedridden. Then one of the medical doctors, maybe he was a Christian, who knows, said to him, Daddy, what is happening to you? It's not about medicine. Who are you holding at heart? Release that person. Then immediately he knew that was, you know, that the young man, the daughter's husband. Then he did something. He took his daughter, went to the house. And getting to the entrance of the house, it was the guy that opened the door. Then he did something. He hugged him and said, I forgive you. Then something happened. His ring fell immediately. And he has been bedridden, and the medical people here. Maybe some people had weight or something. So his ring fell from his hand. He shrinked back to his normal size immediately. Immediately. Didn't take time.
So when you refuse to forgive that person, you're only doing yourself for. That's the truth. You are holding yourself back. You will think, we need damaging. I will not forgive him. He has done me bad. Really? When you do that, you're only enjoying yourself. So release. Let it go. Just let it go. My dad used to say something. He say, when people offend you and they refuse to ask for forgiveness, you know what we would do? Throw forgiveness at them. Throw it. You have to. That's the only way you can help yourself. Throw it. Just forget about it. It might not be easy, because somebody is thinking right now, huh? It's easier said than done. She's just saying it like that. It's easy. It might not be easy. I know how it feels. I know. But do what? Forgive. Sometimes you need to ask for grace to forgive. You need to go to God in prayers and ask God, please give me the grace. I want to forgive this person. I can't do it by myself. Give me the grace, God. Give me the grace. I like to be very, very practical. And that's why I'm taking it one by one like this. Because when whatever issue I see, I like to deal with it. Ask God for that grace to help you to forgive. The grace. It was not your fault. Yes, I know. You are hot. Yes, I know. It took you so much time and days, weeks, even months to come out of it, yes. Please forgive. I know I'm talking to somebody right now. I'm too sure. I know. Whatever it is that happened, whatever it is at all, you were abused, it was not your fault. You were raped, it was not your fault. Somebody doomed you, it was not your fault. You were scammed, it was not your fault. You somebody killed somebody and then it was you. Just forgive. Just forgive that person. Just release. You were verbally abused while growing up and then you were like, just release. Let it go. Please. Let it go. If not because of you, think about your generations. Because the truth is this, whatever you do, whether directly or indirectly, will affect your generation. And that's why we look back and call some of our grandpas blessed. And we remember some people who are like, how did they even live their life like that? So you can either be a blessing to your generation, to your generations to come, or a curse. You can't be in between. You can't. So always have this consciousness that whatever I'm doing is not just about me. Whatever decision you're making is not just about you. Whatever thing you're doing is not just about you. When you choose to forgive, it's not just about you. When you choose to be compassionate, it's not just about you. When you choose to make impact, it's not just about you. Some will do so much for their generation that even their generations yet unborn will reap it. Some people are enjoying what their forefathers have done now. Like, they're just enjoying life. They're just enjoying. Why? Because some people have done so well in the past. They do so well for them. Why some people come to the world to just, they're just struggling. Not struggling out of the battles that were not won. They're trying to now fight battles. The battles that should have been won. They're just here to just fight battles. To just, what are you doing? Start asking yourself right now, what am I doing? What am I doing for myself? What am I doing to achieve destiny? What am I doing to make impact in my generation?
What am I doing for my generations to come, for my children yet unborn? What am I doing now for them? Think. I don't know the issues we have that sometimes we don't think. Me, I think a lot though. I can be looking at you and I'm thinking, like, my head is always, I'm always thinking. Like, just reasoning things out. Think, what are you doing? Look into the life of adults around you and just ask questions in your heart. If this person have done this 5, 6, 7 years back, would this person be here? Ask yourself, because the truth is, see, the future is not far. Hello? Hello? The future is here. Ah, you think you see up? Okay. The future is right. Yeah, the future is not anywhere, Coco. It's not far away. The future is now. It's now. So I ask again, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I pray God will help our hearts to be stationed on Him. God will strengthen your heart, will give your heart like His, a compassionate heart, a heart that is ready to let go and forgive. Anytime, any day, no matter what the person has done, a heart that is ready to forgive. A heart like Jesus. A heart like Jesus. A heart like Jesus.
True transformation is evident for doers. And not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.